The UK Report.
With Gavin Gray, and a very good morning to you, good sir. Welcome back to the show. We start with the rather disturbing news that a potential school massacre was, I suppose it is good news that it was stopped, but this young man went to school with rounds of ammunition and all sorts of things that they would have used for the massacre.
Yes, good morning to you, Africa. And this is a story that's only come to light because of a court case, because we don't know the name of the teenager. He's allowed anonymity. This was something that came out of the court in the Midlands, where it was said the boy took a shotgun, a knife, a balaclava, and 200 rounds of ammunition, basically had also taken a balaclava and ear defenders as well. And it was said that he spent his first lesson with the firearm concealed in his trousers. He then excused himself from class and went into a side room. As he was putting on his ear protectors in preparation for this massacre, it was said he just suddenly snapped, saw sense, and then phoned the emergency services. And he told call handlers that he felt white, hot anger and intended to harm anyone. He said, "I don't know why I have it. I just had to get it out." So the court heard this boy had been suffering from severe depression and also a social anxiety disorder. But the judge has given him a 6-year detention order, and the court heard that literally a few seconds later, and he could have begun shooting at the classmates.
Very disturbing indeed. What is the latest on the relief effort for British overseas territories in the Caribbean following the Hurricane Irma we've been reporting on?
Well, I think there are plenty of people who are accusing the UK of not doing enough, but now 500 British troops are on their way or in the Caribbean already to distribute aid and secure territories hit by Hurricane Irma. The Defence Secretary, who's in charge of this, says the relief operation is well underway, though 5 people have died in the British Virgin Islands as a result of that hurricane. Basically, the Foreign Office is saying that it's trying to get the runway sorted out on a couple of the major territories in order then to ship in more troops, but also, of course, fresh water and aid. Britain's initial response to the hurricane was, according to 2 parliamentary committees, said to be found wanting. The government says that's not true. We were ready for it, and we were there within a short space of time. Now, there are unconfirmed reports of looting, particularly in Anguilla. Now, that's one of the British territories overseas, and policemen have been sent there, as well as the British Virgin Islands, from the UK in order to maintain order. One ship is already there, Africa, but a second is being sent, but that could take a couple of weeks to arrive, and that's why I think some locals say they feel rather let down by that. But aid already supplied, sort of aid buckets, solar lanterns, tents, all the rest of it, as you can imagine, a truly desperate situation.
Now, Madeleine McCann's parents are appealing to the EU Court for Human Rights in a last-ditch attempt to silence the Portuguese ex-police chief who claimed that their daughter is dead and that they are responsible.
Yes, and this, I'm afraid, could go very badly wrong for the McCanns. So the 57-year-old ex-police chief wrote in a book, The Truth of the Lie, that the 3-year-old died at the holiday house that they were sharing. The couple, her parents, then covered it up and believes the little child might have been cremated. So that is his theory about what happened to Madeleine McCann. Now, he wrote a book about it. The McCanns, Kate, Jerry, that's Madeleine's parents, they won a libel case in 2015. He was ordered to pay them somewhere in excess of 3 million South African rand. However, that was overturned on appeal, and then that decision was upheld in another court. In other words, the McCanns were held to be wrong, and now the McCanns could be sued for, well, hundreds of thousands of South African rand, and that's why this is a last-ditch attempt now to the European Court of Human Rights to effectively try to get the whole thing put back, and so that the police chief, Goncalo Amaral, who's 57, can't continue putting these claims in a book. It is said to be possible that the result of any appeal to the European Court of Human Rights could take many, many months, if not years. But the idea that Kate and Jerry McCann might face this huge bill in the end in damages, well, is obviously deeply concerning to them.
Staying in the courts in the EU, I suppose, in Europe, the EU's top court has rejected a challenge by Hungary and Slovakia to a migrant relocation deal drawn up at the height of the crisis in 2015.
Yes, in order to try and distribute migrants that made their way into the European Union, basically a whole schedule was brought up by those in charge, deciding how many countries or which countries were going to take how many. Now, Hungary was asked to take 1,300 asylum seekers, Slovakia 800. Now, if you'll remember, Germany took the best part of a million. Well, Slovakia, asked to take 800, has taken a dozen. The Czech Republic has asked to take a few hundred. It has taken none in the last year, though it did accept 440 this year, though it says it won't cooperate anymore with this particular scheme. So what the European Court's top court here has said is, look, your challenge about Hungary and Slovakia is wrong. You are part of the European Union, and thereby you must effectively take your share of the burden of the migrant flow that is coming into the European Union. And, you know, it is pretty sad that when numbers peaked in 2015, European leaders agreed to spread a total of 160,000 migrants, and so far just 28,000 have actually been relocated.
A disturbing story of a disabled French girl covered in rat bites, critically ill in hospital after a pack swarmed into her bedroom in northern France.
Yes, if you're having breakfast or if you're a bit squeamish, just turn to mute for a minute because this is pretty gruesome. This girl in France is a 14-year-old paraplegic. She was sleeping on the ground floor with her parents upstairs. And when the parent went downstairs, they said the girl was absolutely covered in blood with 45 facial lesions, 150 on her hands, 30 on her feet, and the fingertips nibbled by the rats so badly that they were simply unable to repair them in hospital. The hospital is running checks on this little girl for possible infections, including rabies. Thankfully, it would think the early reports suggest that rabies test has been negative. Now, attacks on humans by rats are very rare, but hungry rats do sometimes feed on corpses. In this particular incident, it would appear the girl is simply unable to move because she's a paraplegic, sleeping on the floor, and it was said that there are reports that rubbish bins were held nearby and they were overflowing. The girl's father is said to be suing the landlord for alleged negligence.
A Spanish woman who believed that Salvador Dali was her father is not the artist's daughter after all.
Yes, I dare say there was an element of this being all about money. Salvador Dali actually never had any children, and it was widely reported, actually, that he was impotent anyway. He couldn't have children. And indeed, he and his wife had an open marriage. They regularly held orgies at their house that Dali is said to have watched rather than participated. In fact, he rather famously claimed basically the foundation and basically being a good artist and a great artist means you have to be impotent, he once said. Well, anyway, there was this woman who says that she was born in 1956 and said her mother had an affair with Salvador Dali the year before her birth. She applied to the courts. The courts agreed Salvador Dali's body must be exhumed for testing. And now we know that the tests have ruled that Salvador Dali is not her father. There is absolutely no match to the DNA. So this woman, who's a tarot card reader, will not, therefore, have any stake in what is a massive estate still for Salvador Dali.
Let's finish off with, I suppose, a wonderful innovation, shall we call it, from a British university welcoming new students with a video showing how to catch a bus.
Yes, I don't know, innovative, wonderful, I don't know, judge for yourself. Yes, this is Surrey University, based at Guildford, actually just down the road from where I'm speaking to you, southwest of London. And along with all the usual advice for undergraduates who are coming to Surrey and coming to the University of Surrey, and that particular university does have a lot of foreign students, they have produced a video showing people how to catch a bus. Now, it is presented by a young student, and there are actors in it as well, and there are helpful tips, Africa, like how to queue. maybe you should thank the driver if it has been a pleasant journey. That you shouldn't go on playing loud music or shouting into your mobile phone. And other such invaluable tips. As you can imagine, the video has gone viral on the internet with people poking a lot of fun at it. I think in the past, the university might have had issues with people rather ignoring the queuing system for catching buses. It is a campus that's quite some way out of a city center, so bus catching is pretty important to most people. But do we really need a video to show us how to catch a bus? And then, I think not.
I think not. Gavin Gray, thank you very much indeed for your time. He'll be back with us next week, Sunday.